Y'all type in and tell God thank you. Thank you for Sister Michelle. Amen. To the entire band and team. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, the 40th verse says, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Did I not tell you if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Amen. Number of years ago, the big Lavelle Crawford told a joke that's really a debriefing that every black mama would give to her kids when she had to take the kids with her to the grocery store. Lavelle tells the story that the mama, before getting out of the car, would go through a litany of things that she was expecting them to do and not do. And then after she said all the things that they were supposed to do, when she was done giving the instructions, she looked at Lavelle and said these words, now what did I say? Amen. And I want to take that line and talk about today. Now what did I say? Now what did I say? John chapter 11 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's filled with drama. It's filled with grief, joy, everything you can think of. It's all there in John chapter 11. I was telling our team as we were working on, we were preparing a blog that we're going to launch in a few weeks called Nad's Life. We've got a couple already recorded, and we were working on a list of what's coming down the pipe. And I was telling the team that one of the things that I believe it's going to be important for us to talk about is grief. And I'm not just talking about the grief of the loss of a loved one. I'm talking about the grief that you feel that in some ways can be described as depression. As people have been talking about the pandemic and the loss of jobs and the difficulty, one of the other things that they're also talking about is that one out of three people are experiencing some form of depression. Even our beloved First Lady Michelle Obama shared that since in these last days, she's been feeling some kind of way. And I was telling the team last week, and to be honest, y'all, there's some days when I think about what we used to be able to do and how we used to be able to get together. It makes me feel some kind of way. I'm used to seeing all my children get together, especially on birthdays, and we cook and we laugh, and we don't get to do that like we used to. I don't get to see the grandbabies as often as we used to. And then when it comes to Sunday morning, I'm telling you, I don't know how other pastors are feeling, but I miss not seeing the church family. I keep cheating. We do some drive-bys. I try to find all kind of excuses to get by just to see somebody, and we mask up and glove up and try to look at like ain't nobody seeing us hugging. But I'm telling you, I miss you. I miss seeing the people of God. And I don't know how long God's going to allow this to go on. I don't know when he's going to bring us out. But I do know there is a word from the Lord that can help us as we go through some of the things that life sends our way. And in John chapter 11, there you can't help but celebrate not only what he did for this particular family. Y'all know the story of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But you have to also look that within the story, there is a focus on faith. There's a focus on that Jesus keeps saying, if you believe, those that believe, the importance of having faith and keeping your faith even in difficult times. And so I want to look at this text today. I want to zoom in on the 40th verse, but then by the context, I will look at some other verses around it. And the first thing that I want to share today is we need to thank God that God gives people the power to believe. He gives people the power to believe. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. But he gives us the power to believe. I'm grateful, I'm thankful that I'm in my right mind and I have the ability, God has given me the ability to believe. Your ability to believe is going to help you get through some tough days. I got a sister and we're celebrating because their family has been through a storm that's going on over a year. Matter of fact, seemed like a couple of years, but we are celebrating the goodness of God because in the midst of it all, they held on to their faith. And because God gives you the ability to believe, you're going to be able to stand some stuff that some other folk can't stand. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Martha, there are some things that Martha knows. There are some things that she knows. The context of what's happening is that she has sent word to Jesus that homeboy Lazarus done got sick. He done caught something. And he not only went from us, but he went from bad to worse. And that's okay because they sent word to Jesus. But Jesus hadn't shown up. And when he does show up, he shows up 4 days later. They didn't already have the funeral, but when he does show up, Martha hears that he's coming and she rushes out to Jesus. And there's some things in that conversation that's going to help us. Ed, here's what we see. Martha knows some stuff. One of the things that she knows for sure, she said to Jesus, I know that she knows that Jesus can make a difference. I need to tell somebody up in here, I don't know what you're going through, but Martha helps us. She believes that Jesus could have made a difference. She told Jesus, if you had been here, we wouldn't be having this conversation, because she believes that the Lord can make a difference. And how is it that some of y'all try everybody and everything, and then after everybody and everything done failed you, then you try Jesus? Shell, here's what I want to tell you. The Lord can, he can, she knows that. She knows that. She knows that Jesus can make a difference. Here's what else she says she knows. She says she knows that God and Jesus are tight. Watch the text. She says, I know that you and God are so tight that if you ask him for anything, he will do it. Greg, listen to me. She knows that Jesus can make a difference, and she knows that Jesus and God are real tight. And when Jesus teaches us in the gospel, he teaches us over and over that God and Jesus is tight. And he tells us to use what we know about Jesus and God to help us in difficult situations. Let me say it like this, Ed. He says, up to this time, you didn't know this, but here's what I want to tell you. From now on, ask in my name. When you go to God in prayer, ask in my name. Don't get me wrong, I ain't got nothing with Peter, but Peter ain't as tight to God as Jesus is. I don't ask in Peter's name. I don't ask in Jude's name. I don't ask in Mary's name. I ask when I go to God in prayer. Sometimes I say it at the beginning. Sometimes I'll say it in the middle. Sometimes I'll say it in the end. But I ask in Jesus' name. Mary knows that God and Jesus, they're tight. She knows that. She knows Jesus could have made a difference. She knows that God and Jesus is tight. She knows that there's more to this life than this here. She knows that there's a life after this one. She knows that Jesus says, you're going to see him again. She said, I know I'm going to see him in the resurrection. She been to class. She knows a little something, something. She says, I know one day we will see one another again. There's more to this life than this one. But beloved, this is a serious situation because there is more to this life than this one. But there's life after this one, but there's not life for everybody in the same place after this one. See, you don't get to go to heaven just cause you die. Some folk who place faith in Jesus Christ will dwell with him, and people who have not will land in hell. And there's no train, no elevator. There's no transporter room where you can get tired of hell and walk and say, beam me up, Scotty. There's life after this. And you got to decide in this life, the decisions you make in this life is what's going to determine where you land. She knew that Jesus could make a difference. She knew that God and Jesus is tight. She knew that there's more to this life. She knew about the resurrection. And she knew that Jesus is the Messiah. He's God with us. She knew you the one that the Bible speaks of. You're the one that has been promised. You are the Messiah. And here's what's interesting after she has this first conversation with Jesus, and after he said, I'm the resurrection and the life, verse 25, the one who believes in me, the one who believes in me will live, even though he die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's an interesting statement because Jesus is helping us to understand the present and the future. Let me break it down. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he die. Jesus saying, if a person believed in me and then dies, he'll live again. Because Jesus can bring life out of death for those who believe in him. He's really making reference to Lazarus. The person who believes in me and dies will live again. And then Jesus says something for the future, because he's coming back. The trumpet going to sound, the dead in Christ shall rise. But then we who are alive shall be caught up. The second statement, Jesus is saying, and he that believes in me, one day he will never die. Here's the connection. If Jesus shows up at 11:40, we who believe will be caught up and we'll never die. My beloved wife, every now and then when she sees some things on the news and she gets disgusted with this world, she'll walk around the house sometimes saying these words, "Come, Lord Jesus. Come on, Lord Jesus." She walks around as if he might be here the next 5 minutes, and the truth is he might be here the next two. But for those who died, they'll live again. But those who are alive when he comes will never die. And he says to Martha, "Do you believe this?" And she said, "Yes, Lord." It's almost as if she says, "Wait here. Can you wait here a minute?" Because watch what happens. She's been talking about what she knows. And the more she talks about what she knows, it's as if something is building up in her. And she tells Jesus, almost, she says, "Look, can you wait here a minute? I need to go get Mary. Stay with me." I want to let you know that she's talking about what she's going through, one of the most difficult days of her life. But the more she talks about what she knows, it kind of builds her faith to create a level of hope and anticipation. As she talks to Jesus about what she knows, "I know who you are. I know you can make a difference. I know you are the Messiah. I know you and God are tight." She's talking herself into some hope. And then she says, "Wait a minute. I think you're getting ready to do something, but let me go get Mary." I love this part. Mary is so broken that Mary doesn't come out. She heard Jesus was coming, but she doesn't go to meet Jesus. She stays at home, and there's a whole lot of folk who've come from Jerusalem, and they're all grieving. It's 4 days later, but they're all grieving at the house. And Martha, she goes to get Mary. Mary's so broken, it's as if she don't have the strength to come meet Jesus. But Martha, she had a talk with him, and she'd been rehearsing what she knows, and she goes to get Mary, to bring Mary to Jesus. Now, I'm going to say it one more time. It's, she doesn't say, "Jesus, Mary is taking it hard." She doesn't say, "Jesus, will you come home and talk to Mary?" Because Jesus has gone to people's houses to bring deliverance. But she doesn't ask Jesus to go to the house. She says, "Jesus, wait right here." She goes and gets Mary and brings Mary to Jesus. Isn't that a marvelous picture of what our relationship is really all about? Once you've had a conversation and you know some stuff about Jesus, the first thing that ought to come to your mind is people that are back home that are broken, people that are back home that are bewildered, people that are back home and just can't see their way. And it ought to be your desire to go get them and to bring them. And listen, if you read closely, you'll hear her whisper. She pulls Mary aside and whispers to her ear as if to say, Jesus, he wants to talk to you. Jesus, he's seeking you. He wants to see you. And she gets up and she comes on back out, and Mary comes with Martha, and they come back to where Martha just left after she had a talk with Jesus. I want to tell you, I want to thank God that he gives people the power to believe. But secondly, I want to thank God that God gives people the power to learn. I believe you could have made a difference if you'd been here. I believe you and God are tight. I believe, I know that you are the Messiah. I know that there's more to life than just this. And that's good, that's good, that's good, that's good. That's it. That's elementary. But just cause you believe what you believe and you know what you know, here's the problem with some people: you get through spiritual elementary and you don't think you need to learn nothing else. Come here. I know you can find Deuteronomy, but you still need to learn some more. I know you know Jesus is coming back one day, and you can give a narrative on the rapture, but you still need to learn some more. I know you know that God is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. You got that down, Baptist 101, but you still need to learn some more. And I think, and I love the fact that God gives us the power to learn. Always opportunity to learn. When Mary and Martha gets back, Jesus says to them, hey, show me where you laid him. And he, because he wants to see, where'd y'all lay him? He's wanting to go to the cemetery. He wants to see the tomb. Mary's crying. Her friends are crying. Jesus sees them crying. And he, you know, preacher supposed to be strong. To help the family. And now Jesus, he breaking down. The Bible says Jesus wept. He's crying. They crying. And but I'm convinced that they're crying for different reasons. Trudy, nobody asked Jesus, why are you crying? But everybody has an assumption. When we had funerals here, it's amazing to see the bubbles of conversation that are going from one section to the other, because a whole lot of people got opinions about other folk and why they doing what they doing. Somebody said, he really did love them. He really did love them, but he really did. Look, even he's crying. He really did love him. And then somebody else said, well, if he loved him, then why didn't he stop him from dying. And Jesus still wants to know, where have you laid him? They point to this, to the place where Jesus, where Lazarus is buried, and they head that way, went up the street, two lights to the left, went across the Lloyd Expressway, made another right, and going to see where they laid him at the cemetery. But then Martha says, you asking where we laid him, but Jesus, we got a problem. We got a problem. The first problem is it's too late. I mean, you can't do visitation on a Jew after 4 days. See, Jews, when a Jewish person dies, they take that person immediately. They don't embalm the person. They don't remove the blood. They don't embalm the person. They wash the person in warm water. It's an act of kindness and respect. And they put a shroud on the person, and they bury them immediately. They don't embalm. So it's been 4 days. Martha says, Jesus, we got the problem is it's been too long. And Jesus doesn't stutter, and he doesn't change direction, because God gives us the power to learn. The lesson is, it doesn't matter if you say it's too late. You don't control time. But they said it's too late. You're too late. He been buried 4 days. He's stinking by now, because it's too late. Here's the second problem. Second problem has to do with, it's as if Jesus has forgotten cemetery protocol. Jesus, you need to understand something about cemetery protocol. I've been in ministry a little while, but I promise you, this has never changed. When a funeral procession of 100 people go into the cemetery, based on how many caskets, not 100 people will go in, but 99 are going to come out. That's cemetery protocol. There was a beloved family where we buried 3 at the same time. 200 people went in the cemetery. 197 came out, because that's cemetery protocol. You don't go into the cemetery with 50 people and come out with 51. Jesus is the only one I know that can go into a cemetery and come out with more people that went in. He said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you'd see the glory of God? He didn't let the fact that he was too late stop him. He didn't let the fact that folk don't normally do visitation at a cemetery, he didn't let none of that stop him. They saw it as a problem. He saw it as an opportunity for them to learn something about God that they had never known. Is it possible that God gives us the ability to learn because as long as we live, there's more to learn about Him? I thank God He gives us the power to believe. Secondly, He gives us the power to learn. Thirdly, God gives us the power to love. He gives us the power to love. Beloved, I want to let you know that sometimes God loves us so much that He allows us to experience heartache. When your heart got broke, it's not that God didn't love you. Sometimes He lets you experience it because He loves you so much. It's hard to understand this stuff when you're going through. But sometimes God loves you enough to let you have an experience that you've never had, so that you can have an experience that you never had. Did I repeat myself? Am I losing my mind? I said sometimes God will let you have an experience, painful experience, that you never had, so that you can have an experience that you never had. I'm almost done. Sometimes God will let you have a hardship that you never had, an experience that you never had, so that you can have an experience that you never had. God, help me, Holy Ghost. God sometimes uses heartache and hardship so that we can see His glory. There was a beloved daughter who went through something she'd never experienced before. It was devastating. And then it was devastating. And she had a decision that she had to make, that she needed some help walking through it, because the devil tried to make her feel shame and disappointment and frustration and failure, all of that. But ultimately, in the midst of all the heartache and the hardship, God was still working. And then the Lord made a way out of no way. Gave her a reset, whole new place, whole new opportunity, whole new season. And in the midst of the reset, she had a setback. She had a reset, but then had a setback, fell, and couldn't move. Had to go to the hospital after a 5-week reset. Now she's in the hospital. But in the midst of the reset, God was still working. God was still moving. God's glory was still showing up. And she called me, and I could hear her smile. She's in recovery now. She's in therapy now. She's home now. But still in therapy, she was smiling through the phone. And I was chuckling and laughing, because in the midst of it all, she had experienced God's glory. It's so funny. Before, didn't know where next hot dog was coming from. But God let her go through a hardship, a heartache. And I was laughing. Said, "What you been doing?" She said, "Well, I'm just sitting up here in the bed. Matter of fact, I just got done paying all my bills on the phone." Before, there was hardship, heartache. But in the midst of it all, the glory of God showed up. The glory of God made a way. And now even though she's in the bed recovering, she's able to do something now that she wasn't able to do then because the glory of the Lord showed up. Jesus said, now what did I tell you? Did not tell you that if you just believe, you would see the glory of God? Let me explain glory. This word glory comes from a word doxa. It really means, on one hand, when you look it up in the Strong's Bible app, you'll see the word opinion. But then when you go a little further, you'll see that it glory represents the presence of God. Ephesians 1:17, Paul said, as he writes to the church at Ephesus, he's the Father of all glory. May he give you wisdom and revelation. Here's what Paul is saying. I'm praying that God will give you the ability to see him, the revelation, when he shows up. Let me rewind. Because in the midst of your hardship, he's going to show up, but I don't want you to miss him when he shows up. God desires, God is looking for individuals to use, to exhibit his glory. Jesus was a vessel used by God so that people in the midst of their hardship, in the midst of their heartache, would understand that he's a vessel showing and revealing the goodness and the glory of God. Martha, Mary, amen. Y'all know that he can heal the sick. Y'all saw him feed the hungry. You heard about the time where he spoke to the wind, yes, and the waves became calm. You saw what he could do with a leper. You saw what he could do with the dumb and the blind, but you ain't never seen his glory like this. You've never seen what he can do in a cemetery. Here's the good news. The glory of God will show up, but he wants to exhibit it. First of all, he shows it through Christ. And when Christ calls Lazarus by name and Lazarus rises from the dead, the glory of God is revealed in that circumstance and situation. Here's what happens when the glory of God shows up. Here's what normally happens. You get grace and power. When God shows up in your hardship, you'll see his glory distributed in grace and power. Have I got a witness here? I'm almost out of here. Grace, because I didn't deserve it. Power, because I don't have the strength to do it on my own. God will show up with grace and power. And when you see the grace of God, that's glory. When you see the power of God, that's glory. Hey, it ought to change your opinion. When he gives glory, you ought to give him praise. When he gives glory, you ought to shout hallelujah. When God makes a way out of no way, that's glory. When God turns your midnight into day, that's glory. And he wants to do it. He wants to do it through Christ and believers. He's looking for somebody that can exhibit his glory. I wrap this thing up like this. There's a little boy. He's 9 years old. His name is Robbie Gay. Little Robbie lived in Palm Coast, Florida. Robbie was abused by his family. He was in and out of the hospital. Family took him, put him into foster care. And Robbie watched year after year as children were adopted. And everybody know, the older you get, the harder it is for you to find a forever home. Everybody know, if you got issues, emotional issues, it's harder for you to find a forever home. After all that he'd been through, the abuse, the severe abuse, Robbie's family who adopted him said, for the first 2 years, he was hell. He was holy hell. Finally got adopted, and Robbie, he needed a whole lot of mercy, a lot of tenderness. And they discovered something about Robbie, that he would never cry. He was hard, cold as stone. But one day they went to the dog pound. And when they got to the dog pound, they saw Robbie, something clicked in Robbie. And as he was walking, looking at the dogs, he saw the puppies, he saw the cute ones, he saw the sporty ones, he saw the healthy ones. But Robbie always ended up at the cage with the oldest, ugliest mutt of a dog. And his parents asked him if he'd like to have a dog, and he said, yeah. And he walked past the puppies, he walked past the cute ones, he walked past the energetic ones, and he found the oldest, ugliest dog he could find. And that's the dog he wanted. And they didn't quite understand it, but Robbie loved on that dog. And Robbie and that dog, they were thick as thieves. The dog was old, the dog didn't have many years left. And when they finally discovered that the dog wasn't going to make it, the merciful thing to do was to put it to sleep. And they explained to Robbie, he's suffering, and we're going to drop him off here, and they're going to put him to sleep. And Robbie said, no, I want to go back there with him. They said, well, Robbie, you know, they're going to give him an injection, and he's going to die. And Robbie said, I want to be with him. I want to be with him when he dies. And they went back in the room. They gave the dog a shot, and Robbie held that dog. When that dog took his last breath, Robbie broke down in tears. And then his mother was asking him, Robbie, I've never seen you cry. He said, well, this dog reminds me a lot of myself, and I didn't want him to die without knowing that somebody loved him. And he said, this dog, just like me, he said, people want babies and puppies. Nobody wants you when you're old. Nobody wants you when you're broken. Nobody wants you when you're hurt, because they like cute puppies and cute babies. And they went back to the dog pound. And Robbie, once again, he walked past all the puppies, the cute ones and the strong ones, and he adopted the oldest dog he could find so that he could exhibit some grace and some mercy. Matter of fact, he made a deal with his parents. He said, he adopted as many as they would let him. And And then after he had his limit, he go back to the pound and he volunteered there because he said, I got my limit, I got my quota back at home, but since I can't take you home with me, I'm gonna come here to be with you. And every week he goes and he volunteers because nobody wants you when you're old, when you're broken. But Robbie Gay, little 9-year-old boy, understood that somebody needs to show some love in a marvelous way. And the story has gone across the nation now because God used a little boy who'd been through some hardship. God used a little boy who'd been through some heartache. And God made him an instrument, a vessel, to display the glory of God. And now when people keep hearing this story about Robbie Gay from Palm Coast, Florida, they tell the story about this little boy, and they tell the story, and they see how God used him to bring life to somebody that was depressed, something that was broken. And now people are having a second kind of look at children in adoption, and people are adopting at a higher level. Now when people come to the dog pound, they just don't look for the cute ones. They look for the ones that have been broken. They look for the ones that are old. They look for the ones that don't have long. I'm through. I'm just trying to wrap this thing up. I'm trying to tell you, the good God we serve, aren't you glad he doesn't just show glory to the puppies, to the babies? Aren't you glad that he doesn't just love those who are cute and those who are strong? But when you're weak, when you're in trouble, when you're broken, when you can't see your way, when you got some issues, he shows up with his glory. He shows up to give grace and power. He's looking for somebody that he can use to bring glory in dark situations, glory in broken circumstances. What did I tell you? Won't he make a difference? Won't he make a way? Won't he open doors? Won't he be with you in the midst of heartache, in the midst of hardship, so that you can learn something about God that you never knew before?
Oh.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank God for the power. He gives us the ability to love. And because we love you, we want you to know what God desires in your life. He desires that you would have a relationship with him. Somebody looking at me right now. I was a little boy when I trusted the Lord as my Savior. I was a little boy. My mama and daddy, they took me to Greater Gethsemane Missionary Baptist Church, Sunday school, BTU, Tuesday or Wednesdays. It wasn't an option. In our household, we learning about the Word of God, serving God in worship and in ministry was a priority. And I want you to know that I've never regretted going through it. Yeah, there are days I wanted to be playing basketball. But now when I look back, I have to say thank you. Thank you, Lars and Bessie. You gave me shots. It hurt, but it kept me alive. You redirected my schedule. But because of it, I've learned some things. I know some things that perhaps I wouldn't have known. I choose Christ as my Lord and Savior, And I offer him to you today. Jesus died that you might live. God sent his son and he died for your sins and mine. A prayer of faith can bring you into the family of God. It's as simple as this. You can repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that you sent your son to die for my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead. And according to your word, you said if I believe that, I could become your child. Today, come into my heart and begin a work in my life and help me to walk in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. What did I say? God will give you the power to believe. God can give you the power to learn. And God can give you the power to love. And God can use you as an instrument to display his grace and power in an awesome way.